Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. It's the start of OTAs today in Green Bay. To talk about that, we have a guest joining us this morning on the phone. He writes for Lombardi Ave. He's the editor there. His name is Ray Rivard. Ray, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us this morning here. Now, give us a little bit of background about yourself and about the site Lombardi Ave that you update very frequently over there at the Fansided Network, I believe it's a part of. Tell us about yourself and about the website.
Well, I'm a longtime Packer fan, probably about 50 years worth. If we want to go back, I have a degree in education. I never got a job in teaching, but I got into journalism about 23 years ago. Started out as the sports guy, actually, over at the B in Phillips, Wisconsin. And I was there. Soon after that, I got into news, and I was the news editor and chief bottle washer and all that. You know, it was a weekly newspaper, so I did pretty much everything. I was there 10 years. Moved over to Monaco, where me and my family are situated now. I'm the editor of the Lakeland Times. I've been here for 13 years. And as far as Lombardi Ave goes, a couple of years ago, I simply answered an online ad. Fansided is looking for an editor to take over the Packers site for Fansided, and I answered it, and that was a couple of years ago. In the first year of it, I pretty much ran the site by myself and a couple of writers who kind of contributed every now and again. And things are kind of moving along slowly. And then this past year, I said, God darn it, let's get this thing going. So I put a call out for some writers, and lo and behold, I got some really, really talented writers who responded and who have been contributing to the site frequently. So it's really, really helped the site grow, and it's been a good thing.
It's very cool. You guys have more updates there more frequently than any other Packers blog I see, so that's really cool from that standpoint. Now, you're also occasionally credentialed, as I recall, too, because you do have some original Packers photography on your website.
I do, luckily, I'm able to do that actually through the newspaper. The Lakeland Times. We go over. They give us credentials for half of the home games. So myself and once in a while the photographer, the sports guy, goes over and shoots the games and we cover them that way. So that's really photography is probably my greatest love. Of course, I like to write, but. I've been shooting pictures for a long time, and it being there at Lambeau on the frozen tundra is definitely an experience I wish that everybody could experience.
Well, that's awesome. Let's talk some Packers football here, seeing as it's the start of OTAs today in Green Bay. And if you head over to LombardiAve.com, Ray has a couple posts up, and I want you to elaborate on these a little bit here. Ray, you've got one up just recently on running back James Starks, who's kind of in an interesting position, I think, this year, kind of almost a make-or-break point in his life. He's a guy who's been injured a lot. Tell me about James Starks. Where does he stand on the roster this year, and is he going to even make the team this year?
Good question. I took a little heat from a couple of readers on this, thinking that I said that basically the odd man out and probably won't make the roster. But of course, he's still on the roster. the trade rumors have kind of died down, and even though the Packers went out and beefed up the backfield, you know, the guy still has a shot. He can run the football. He just can't stay healthy. And I don't know if the Packers have lost patience with him on that end, but in my mind, he's going to have a long uphill to make the roster, especially with the young guys and fresh legs. And so it'll be interesting to see how Mr. Stutz pans out as he goes through training camp.
Yeah, I've kind of been saying myself that I think him and Alex Green are fighting for maybe one roster spot between them. I think there's one job there available, but who that'll go to, I'm not exactly sure. But a guy who's kind of in the same boat as James Starks is kicker Mason Crosby. The Packers bringing in a little competition to him. Where do you see Mason Crosby heading into the 2013 season?
You know, unless he has a complete breakdown in training camp, I really don't see him losing his job. The Packers have too much invested in the guy. But it's good, on the other hand, it's good that I think that they're bringing in the Italian.
Giorgio Tavecchio.
Exactly. to compete with him, you know. He hasn't had competition in camp for, what, 6-7 years, something like that? I think it'll put him on his toes a little bit, and hopefully, you know, I like Mason Crosby. I think everybody does. I want to see him succeed. Last year was really rough, not only on him, but I think every Packer fan. You hate to see guys kind of fall down like that, but I think, when it's all said and done, I think he'll be the Packers kicker, and you know, I'm hoping for good things for him this year.
Well, I've alluded to it a couple times. OTAs beginning today in Green Bay, the first time they can practice together kind of as a team. You know, what's a position, Ray, you're looking at as kind of an interesting roster battle that might shape up here during the off season?
You know, of course, everybody's looking at running back and the offensive line, the defensive line. You know, I think there's a couple or three that are really going to be quite interesting. In addition to, of course, Mason Crosby and the kicking situation, you've got the quarterback, the backup quarterback position, which is going to be highly fought, I think, between B.J. Coleman and Graham Harrell. I think that's going to be a very interesting, how that shakes out is going to be very interesting. And then, you know, not too many people are talking about wide receivers, but, you know, you're looking at Boykin and Ross, and then the two new guys, Kevin Dorsey and Charles Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a really good battle. And then, of course, you know, you're looking at that defensive backfield. You've got, you know, Kamon Williams, of course, is pretty much entrenched there. But then you look at guys like Devon House and the rookie Micah Hyde, and even Jared Bush, you know, all those guys. And Sam Shields, throw him in there. I think that's going to be an interesting how that all shakes out. And then you're looking at safety. Probably the thinnest spot on the roster. I don't know if they'll bring in some veteran help there or not, but you know, you got Jennings and this Richardson, who we know pretty much nothing about, and John McMillan. That's going to be an interesting battle. So there's several of them, I think, that are really going to be key to how the roster shakes out.
No doubt about it. There's no shortage of position battles taking place or roster spots that are up for grabs among some of these guys. I think it's interesting that you mentioned the wide receivers. I think, you know, that the top three guys there are pretty much set. But beyond that, it's wide open. Kind of in the same vein here, maybe not a position, but who is a rookie maybe you're looking forward to watching here as practices start to begin here? Who should we be checking out as Railbirds?
Well, no question. I think everybody is really excited to see what Jonathan Franklin can do. I think we kind of know what Eddie Lacy brings to the table with his power running, but Jonathan Franklin really brings an interesting aspect to the Packers game. I think he fits into, kind of like Randall Cobb did, how he, melded in with the offense. I think we'll see more of that from Franklin, so I'm pretty excited to watch him.
Yeah, I am too, no doubt about it. On Saturday over the weekend, Ray, the tailgate tour wrapped up, and it's been a popular topic of conversation about Brett Favre on the tailgate tour, and Brett Favre's always a topic of conversation among Packers fans. Where do you fall on the spectrum about Brett Favre and being part of the Packers organization? Should they retire his number? When should it happen? What do you feel about the guy?
I don't think it can happen soon enough. I've always loved Brett Favre, even when he played with the Vikings, believe it or not. I loved Brett Favre. I hated the Vikings. He's so much a part of the franchise. For so long he was the face of the franchise, and he really lifted it to new heights. After the 70s and 80s, he came in and really turn the franchise around. So I think the sooner you get it over with, it can't happen soon enough. If it happens in 2015, great. But I think it's got to happen before he's inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's just a great guy to me. I know there's a lot of haters out there, but he's still a franchise. Him and Reggie, they were just great players and played in a great, what's going to be known as a great era. So bring him back into the family, the sooner the better.
I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It just, the language they use seems to indicate that they want it to happen, maybe not the 2013 season, but, I think maybe even as soon as next year we could see it. But, Ray, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us here this morning on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. We appreciate your time, and you do a great job at Lombardi Avenue.
Yeah, I want to put a plug in for you guys over there, too. You got a great site. I go to it every day. Your inspiration, give me all kinds of ideas. So, that's a great job over there.
All right. Well, thank you kindly. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you. We'll talk to you later, Ray.
Okay. I'd like to come on soon again.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Okay, Brian. Thanks.
Okay. Ray Rivard joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. As we said, it's a Monday morning. It's the start of organized team activities, OTAs, today in Green Bay. Don't be confused. The first public practice isn't until Tuesday. So they're practicing today, the Packers, just nobody can see it. They're doing it behind closed doors. They're going to be inside the Don Hutson Center today. So you're going to miss it today. I'm not even sure the media is allowed there today. So probably just a closed session, but we'll hear about what's going on tomorrow as the media is allowed at practice. And they'll be interviewing the players afterwards. You'll see articles in the newspapers, on the local television stations, things like that. So really cool. For the first time this year, you'll be seeing them, in a team environment. OTAs represent the first time they can practice together as a team. So, exciting time in Green Bay as things really start getting ramping up here. The remainder of the month of May into June. They're kind of a little bit of a lull there, late June, early July, that they kind of take off, take a little rest before training camp. The grind of training camp begins, but it should be fun the next month or so here as they're, you know, getting, you know, back in the practice mode and getting ready for the 2013 season. So, you know, with the remainder of today's show, I kind of wanted to talk about a post I made yesterday. Not necessarily the post I made, but, you know, kind of the comments that came from it. If you look at the, go down to the bottom right-hand corner of your page, you'll see all our recent latest posts at Cheesehead TV. And post I made yesterday night, a quote, far too early pre-OTA's 53-man roster prediction for the Green Bay Packers. And I admittedly, put it right in the title, far too early to be making predictions like these. There's a lot that has yet to play out. I admit that entirely. Injuries are going to happen, unfortunately. Knock on wood, I don't want any of them to happen, but they have a way of happening. It's football. That's life in football, any level. And roster decisions are sometimes made for you when injuries occur. So things, you know, will change between now and the start of September. But, you know, I think it's a good time to see how the roster is starting to stack up. And I made my roster predictions, and you can go read the article if you want to see those. But I kind of wanted to address some of the most frequent comments I got from that article. In other words, the discrepancies, the thing that I saw people disagree with the most is I left two guys off the 53-man roster that I thought people were perhaps a little bit surprised, and that is A, Andrew Datko, and B, Brandon Bostic. And these were based upon comments left at the website. You could go down below and read them. And I left Andrew Datko off the 53-man roster. And I think it is going to be tough for him to make it. And again, you know, certainly, this is my prediction in May. I could easily change my mind based upon the way the offseason plays out, how things shake out between now and the next 2-3 months or so, between the start of the NFL season. So, you know, no doubt about it. I am not counting Andrew Datko out whatsoever. But so, you know, to kind of recap his career, he is the, let's see, he was a practice squad player last year, came in as a 7th round draft choice, did not make the 53-man roster, but was kept on the practice squad all year long. And to me, it was perhaps a little bit telling when injuries hit in the middle of the season. Remember, Brian Bulaga went on injured reserve there, and they had to make some moves, and they had to bring in an extra offensive lineman. And the offensive lineman the Packers brought in off their practice squad was not Andrew Datko last year. It was Greg Van Roten, a guy who was undrafted. And, you know, to kind of see them put a little bit more faith in an undrafted guy as opposed to Andrew Datko, I kind of scratched my head a little bit and went, wow, maybe there's a little bit more than meets the eye to perhaps Andrew Datko's injury situation. He's been dealing with shoulder injuries forever. On top of that, you know, maybe he's just not ready for the NFL. So I think it's going to be tough for him to make the team this year, and made even tougher the fact that the Packers drafted two offensive linemen this year. They drafted, you know, David Bakhtiari and J.C. Treader in the 4th round of the NFL draft. Had a couple more undrafted guys on top of that, Lane Taylor of Oklahoma State, Patrick Lewis of Texas A&M, you know, and on top of all the guys who are already there, the veterans, the tackles, you know, Andrew Datko, thought of as a tackle, but interesting, during the rookie orientation camp, they actually used him at guard a little bit. So that's good. He's being versatile. That's good for him. But yeah, I could see, we got the Cheesehead TV post here in the comments listing the predictions here. And I mean, just look at all those names: Bulaga, Sitton, EDS, Lang, Newhouse, Barclay, Sherrod, Bakhtiari, Treader. Where is there room for Andrew Datko there? That's nine offensive linemen. And I thought I was being very generous with the offensive line in general. You know, remember last year, the Packers kind of had a little bit of a stir when they kept only seven offensive linemen on their 53-man roster. And that's as small a number as you can possibly keep, as seven. It's most teams keep eight or nine. I think eight is kind of the usual number. You usually only keep seven active on game day. Sometimes you'll keep eight if things shake out right. But, there's just not, usually enough room to go an entire two deep and keep 10 guys. So I thought they'd keep nine after keeping seven last year. But, again, things could change between now and the start. I don't see Andrew Datko making it as of right now, but he'll get a fair shake. He'll get his opportunities. He'll get his chance. And it starts today. OTAs begin today, and it's now when he has to start leaving an impression, start showing that he can be part of that 53-man roster. So, that's what OTAs are for. That's what it comes down to. So Andrew Datko has a lot to prove between now and training camp, and he'll get his shot, and we'll see. He'll be an interesting person to watch. So definitely an interesting one there. And another one. So got a few comments then on Brandon Bostic, the tight end, and I didn't think there was room for him. And again, same case, same scenario. I could easily change my mind, later on, and and say, hey, he's gonna make it. But as it stands, here's how I have the tight ends stacking up. Last year, the Packers kept five. This year, I have them keeping four. I have him keeping Jermichael Finley, Matthew Mulligan, DJ Williams, and Ryan Taylor. For A, that leaves out Brandon Bostic, and B, that leaves out Andrew Quarles, too. And I think there was a couple comments about Andrew Quarles as well. As far as Andrew Quarles goes, I think it has more to do with the injury than anything. He just suffered a horrific injury there 2 years ago in the 2011 season, ended his season then, couldn't play last year after trying to play after coming off the PUP list, and it just couldn't happen. I thought it was unfortunate, but I think it's going to be really tough for Andrew Quarles to come back from that horrific injury, and I'm not sure he can. And I think the Packers kind of got their blocking tight end and free agency this offseason, kind of an insurance policy in case Andrew Quarles doesn't work out. You know, they got that Mulligan, and he may not be much of a receiver, but, you know, from everything you see, you hear, he is a good blocker, and he'll kind of fill that role. And I think he's going to get a lot of playing time this year. Especially on running downs. I think you're going to see that Mulligan play a fair amount as the Packers try to get that running game going this year. So that's how Andrew Quarles, shapes up. And John here on the live blog says Bostic could surprise. And no doubt about it. I don't doubt that. He could surprise. He's just got a lot of guys ahead of him. He's going to have to leapfrog if he's going to make it, he's going to have to jump ahead of guys like DJ Williams or Ryan Taylor, guys who edged him out last year for a roster spot. So I don't see him, making it over those guys again, although I'm not going to rule it out. You know, DJ Williams, I think him and Ryan Taylor will make it, but, you know, those guys haven't shown a whole lot in their 2 years in Green Bay. They've been primarily special teams players. Yeah, they've gotten a little bit of time on offense here and there, but they haven't done so much where they're, you know, they're this roster lock to make it. So Brandon Bostic could be a guy, and what's good is, you know, Brandon Bostic's got a little bit of size. What is he, like 6'3", 6'4"? I think he was a former wide receiver, as I remember. And, you know, he's kind of the guy who would be split out wide quite often. He's not a big body. He's not your inline tight end. Not to say he couldn't line up inline ever. But, you know, he's the type of guy who's going to be split out wide and be used almost as a de facto wide receiver more so than a tight end. And so he really has the chance to be, you know, a receiving threat from that standpoint. You know, if anything were to happen to JerMichael Finley, for sure, you know, Brandon Bostic might be the next best receiving option, a guy who might be able to go down the seam and create a little bit of damage there. He's not quite as tall as Finley, and maybe not that dangerous, but he does have some fluidity to him, as I remember watching him a little bit last year during the preseason, things like that. He's got that, which is nice. Now he's got to, you know, get his overall game together a little bit. So, John asked on the live blog, the question for me at tight end, is this the year Williams breaks out? Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the guys he'll be competing with for a roster spot, DJ Williams. He's been here for 2 years. The expectations have been moderately high for DJ Williams. And so far, everybody, I think, is kind of wondering why haven't they seen more out of him? You know, a guy coming from the SEC, DJ Williams, I think people saw him win the Mackey Award there as the nation's best tight end. And you're thinking, well, if he's the best tight end in the nation, you know, why hasn't he been any better in the NFL? Well, I think part of it has to do with his height. You know, DJ Williams is, what is he, like 6'2", 6'3"? He's not your prototypical tight end like Finley, you know, like the new breed of tight end that is taking over that is 6'5", 6'6", even 6'7". Those kind of guys who are, you know, doing their damage over the middle of the field, stretching out the field. The athletic guys like Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, you know, that's DJ Williams isn't going to be that kind of guy. He's, you know, not to say he doesn't have receiving ability, but the fact that he's 6'2", 6'3", kind of hinders him a little bit. You know, he's going to be used in the backfield a little bit, kind of an H-back kind of role. So he's going to have to become really good at that. And when he is used as a receiver, he's going to have to maximize his chances. You know, no drop passes, things like that. He's really going to have to be a security blanket for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to make it. John says on the live blog, Williams fits in the Delanie Walker type of mold. A little bit he does. And so it'll be important for him and a guy like Ryan Taylor too, a guy who's, you know, definitely been an integral part of special teams. And used a little bit on offense here and there, especially as a blocker. He's kind of been used in that fullback type of role, a lot like Tom Crabtree. Ryan Taylor and Tom Crabtree have kind of played the same kind of role. Obviously, Crabtree would play much more, but now he's gone in free agency to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, maybe an opportunity for Ryan Taylor to play more this year, but I think Matthew Mulligan, again, will be taking a lot of those snaps. But you know, no doubt about it. All these guys, throw Jake Stoneburner in the mix, a guy who, you know, was signed as an undrafted free agent. And you know, speaking of undrafted free agents, I don't think I had any of them making the team, on my roster prediction. And you know, perhaps that's my own fault, my own mistake. because if you follow the Packers closely, you know darn near every year they usually keep at least one and usually more than one undrafted rookie. Usually somebody makes it. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, who has the best chance of making it. Who is the best undrafted rookie? Who has a good chance of making it? And, you know, just off the top of my head, if I were to pick a couple guys who, you know, who I thought maybe had the best chance of sticking around, I would say Andy Malumba, maybe, the outside linebacker from Eastern Michigan. He would be a good bet. Perhaps Lane Taylor, the offensive lineman from Oklahoma State, the guard. As we saw reported by the Green Bay Press Gazette over the weekend, he ended up receiving the largest signing bonus of any undrafted rookie. That I always love looking at that. Go through the archives there at the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, find the article on the undrafted rookie signing bonuses. The size of the signing bonus really gives you an idea, at least right off the bat, how highly they think of these guys and how badly they want, you know, them to come to Green Bay. Because remember, with undrafted rookies, those guys can pick any team they want, because they're all undrafted, so they can choose where they want to go. So a lot of times it's decided by, well, who's going to give me the biggest signing bonus? You know, who's going to pay for me to come there? And so the name this year, the guy who got the biggest, I think was like $7,000, $8,000, or maybe it was right in between, $7,500. Lane Taylor, the offensive lineman from Oklahoma State, they think a lot of this guy. And again, that, you know, just because they gave him the largest signing bonus doesn't mean he's going to make the team. But it's just that they thought the most highly of him, you know, coming in. You know, not the guys receiving the largest signing bonuses don't always make the team. In fact, last year, that kid out of San Diego State, I thought, received the largest signing bonus last year. I even forget his name. He didn't end up making the team, even though he got the largest bonus. So it doesn't always happen. So, but Lane Taylor, a guy, and I think right behind him was the quarterback, Matt Brown of Illinois State. You know, he's a practice squad candidate. And quarterbacks are always in such high demand, so that's a big one there. I don't think that Matt Brown's going to make the 53-man roster, but he could be a practice squad kind of guy. So there you go. I mean, there's a few names for you as to who may make the roster this year. So, but we'll find out. Like I said, it's the start of OTAs in Green Bay, and now's the chance for these guys to, here's their opportunity to show what they've got. Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, starts pointing out the guys who made it last year. Greg Van Roten, Sean Richardson, Jarrett Boykin, they all made it last year as undrafted rookies, so certainly wouldn't be a surprise, and it's perhaps likely that somebody will make it again. So we'll start watching them starting tomorrow. Anybody heading out to OTAs tomorrow? Going to Clark Hinkle Field tomorrow. I think practice is at 11:30 a.m. local time. Fortunately, I can't make it myself, but I would love to at some point. We'll see over the course sometime of the off season here if I can make it. But anyway, folks, thanks for joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to Ray Rivard of LombardiAv.com for joining us for a little off season Packers talk. And we'll see you later, folks. We'll be back again on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central, 8:30 a.m. local time or central time is when we have the show. But I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident and Psy Fidelity Records. On behalf of Jamie Jorvis, I'm Brian Kirivu. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.